तीरा वनचारी यमुना तीरा वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जना वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी यशोदा नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदा नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदा नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदा जमुना तीरा वनचारी जमुना तीरा वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी
विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिवजगाचार्य स्तोत्र सतश्रीमद्शिवाइंग्रे श्रील एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवास आदि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्री श्याम कुंज श्री राधा कुंज श्री गिरी गोवर्धन की ब्रजभूमि श्री वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर नवद्वीप धाम की पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की गंगा मैया जमुना मैया की भक्ति देवी तुलसी महारानी की समवेद गौर भक्त वृंद की निताय गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरंग ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यां नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासां ततो जायामुदीरहे नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिके कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो वन चैप्टर थ्री हरे कृष्ण श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो वन चैप्टर थ्री टेक्स्ट 36 स वा इदं विश्वं అమోఘ లీలా సుజాతి అవతి అతి నసాజతే అస్మిన్ భూతేషు సంతారిత ఆత్మతంత్ర సద్వర్గికం జిఘారతి సద్గుణేశ సవ ఇదం విశ్వం మమోగలీలా సృజతి అవతి అతీనా సాజతేస్మిన్ భూతేషు చంతాహిత ఆత్మతంత్ర సద్వర్గికం జిఘరతి సద్గుణేశ సవ ఇదం విశ్వం మమోగలీలా సృజతి అవతి అతీనా సాజతేస్మిన్ భూతేషు చంతారిత ఆత్మతంత్ర సద్వర్గికం జిఘరతి సద్గుణేశ సవ ఇదం విశ్వం మమోగలీలా సృజతి అవతి అతి న సాజతేస్మిన్ భూతేషు చంతారిత ఆత్మతంత్ర సాద్వర్గికం జిగరతి సద్గుణేశ స ద సుప్రీం లార్డ్ వా ఆల్టర్నేట్లీ ఇదం దిస్ విశ్వం మేనిఫెస్టెడ్ యూనివర్సెస్ అమోఘ లీలా వన్ హూస్ యాక్టివిటీస్ ఆర్ స్పాట్లెస్ సృజతి క్రియేట్స్ అవతి అతి మెయింటైన్స్ అండ్ అనాలియేట్స్ Not. Sajate is affected by Asmin in them. Bhuteshu in all living beings. Cha also. Antarita living within. Atma Tantra self-independent. Sat Vargikam endowed with all potencies of his opulences. Jigharati, superficially attached, like smelling the fragrance. Sad Guna Isha, master of the six senses. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation, the Lord whose activities are always spotless is the master of the six senses and is fully omnipotent with six opulences. He creates the manifested universes, maintains them, and annihilates them without being in the least affected. He is within every living being and is always independent. Purport. The prime difference between the Lord and the living entities is that the Lord is the creator and the living entities are the created. Here he is called Amogha Leela, which indicates that there is nothing lamentable in his creation. Those who create disturbance in this creation are themselves disturbed. He is transcendental to all material afflictions. because he is full with all six opulences, namely wealth, power, fame, beauty, knowledge, and renunciation. And thus he is the master of the senses. He creates these manifested universes in order to reclaim the living beings who are within them suffering threefold miseries, maintains them, and in due course annihilates them without being the least affected by such action. He is connected with this material creation very superficially, as one smells odor without being connected with the odorous article. Non-godly elements therefore can never approach him despite all his endeavors.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Sri Radhe Vrindabaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. It's after a long, long time that I got the chance to serve in this manner for this service. So, Krishna is the source of all incarnations is a chapter, the third chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, text number 36. And as we have already been studying for the last 35 verses, this chapter is very beautifully enumerating the various incarnations of the Lord. And just the whole idea is to meditate upon these various incarnations of the Lord, the various qualities of the Lord, to do what is called Shravanam, Kirtanam, and Mananam, to meditate, to focus upon. Because without Mananam, Shravanam and Kirtanam, they do have meaning, but not so much. So Shravan and Kirtan is very important. No doubt, they are the processes of devotional service, the nine processes. But after Shravanam, Kirtanam, we have to learn the art of Mananam, to really meditate upon, to focus, to think about manan karna, to ruminate over these beautiful qualities of the Lord, the beautiful incarnation, the beautiful pastimes. Because that is what will purify our heart. Nasta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam. You know, so while we have the Bhagavatam class only for one and a half hours in a day, and for many of us, those who are in the congregation, we may not be attending Bhagavatam class on a regular basis. But that's not the... it's not a disqualification. As long as the student of Bhagavatam, that is all of us, are Nityam Bhagavat Seva. How can you do Nityam Bhagavat Seva? Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya. That means it's not that like Parikshit Maharaj, we can sit for 24 hours in a day and sit and hear Bhagavatam. Not possible.
nor can, like Shukdev Goswami, we can sit and speak Bhagavatam for 7 days continuously. So neither we can do Shravanam continuously, Nityam, neither we can do Kirtanam continuously. So what does it mean to have Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya? Important, right? If we have been told to do Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya, and we are not able to do Nityam Shravanam or Nityam Kirtanam, what does it mean? It means to mananam, to think about what we have heard, to ruminate, to think about it throughout the day, throughout the week. And that's how we get purified. Constantly thinking of the Lord. Because Lord is pavitra, is all pure. And when we meditate upon and when we associate with the all pure, we become pure. It's a natural occurrence in this world. What we associate with, we become like that. When we are associating with something hot, we become hot. So the whole idea is to do mananam of the Lord. And that's why these beautiful verses are coming and when we read about them. And many a times, it appears to be a lot of repetition. The Lord is supreme. He is Sad Aishwarya Purna Bhagavan. How many times it has come in different verses, right? So many times. Now, why is it that it is repeated? Because we can constantly get reminded about the glories of the Lord. The unlimited glories of the Lord. In this verse, it is exclusively glorifying a Lord, the Supreme Person of Godhead, who has spotless, his activities are spotless. Amogha Leela, spotless activities. Prabhupada also translates Amogha Leela as there's nothing lamentable in his creation. Quite a unique translation of Amogha Leela as well in the purport. And then there are beautiful glorifications about his being omnipotent, his being Rishikesh, the master of the senses, and then how he creates, maintains and annihilates the creation without getting affected by it. So, I mean, so many times we have heard these verses, but the whole idea, my dear friends, is that we need to be constantly reminded and be aware about the glories of the Lord, because the tendency of the jiva soul is to forget the glories of the Lord. We love to forget the glories of the Lord. We are wanting to forget, because otherwise how can we be happy in the material world? I mean, happy in the material sense. Only if we forget that the Lord is supreme, then we can be happy. Because then there's some hope that I can try to be happy. Because if we know it with knowledge that the Lord is supremely the enjoyer, then how can we be happy thinking that I am the enjoyer? Not possible. So the whole idea is our Atmika Shakti. The whole purpose is that we are covered over. And when we get covered over, then we forget. And then we can be happy. Otherwise, we can't be happy. It is not possible for the jiva soul to be happy Krishna Bahir Mukha. It's not possible if you are away from Krishna and be happy. Not possible. But only when we are covered, then we can think, yes, maybe I'm happy. And that's why we have to remove that cover. And that cover is like multiple layers. The more material focus we have, the more the layers. So it is not that we can remove it one at a time. We have to remove the layers, and there's more layers and more layers and more layers and more. Millions of layers of avidya, of anarthas. And let us all be aware of this, my dear friends. Many a times when somebody points our faults, we don't like to hear them. And in this case, you know, I must honestly say, sitting here is not that there's anything that I speak which is not in me. We all are suffering from this lifetimes of anarthas in form of layers. And we have to remove them. And that is why to constantly hear the glories of the Lord is the most powerful. And in one sense, the only way to really remove these anarthas, the Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. So that is why Bhagavatam and the great souls, they take so much effort to really broadcast the glories of the Lord. different verses, which ultimately what they do, they glorify the Lord. I was just reading, I was hearing a class, and a very interesting thing came. Of course, we all know that, you know, Yudhishthir Maharaj wanted to perform the Rajasuya Yajna. And this whole elaborate arrangement was there. Krishna was in Dwarka, and then one Brahmana came running, saying that, you know, Jarasandh has made, see, that Brahmana was representing the 20,800 kings that were in captivation by Jarasandh, and he said, please, Krishna, come and help. These kings are desperately wanting your help. And at the same time, Narad Muni also came and said, well, Yudhishthir Maharaj is wanting to perform the Rajasuya Yajna, and he wants you to be there because he wants to, you know, do the Agra Puja for you, to establish you the Supreme. So then Krishna was called to two places at the same time. Krishna takes the advice of Uddhav. There's another interesting thing, right? Now Krishna, who is all-knowing, why does he need advice? I mean, so that's why this is going to be the theme of today's discussion. How Krishna is so amazingly wonderful, and how he constantly amazes us by his activities. Chitta hoy chamatkar. You know, is that you hear the glories of Krishna, your chitta will be amazed to see the glories of Krishna. And that's what Krishna wants, to amaze us. So here is Krishna, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's called at two places. He knows what to do, but he's still asking advice of Uddhav. Uddhav, please tell, what should I do? And Uddhav also gives advice. There's another interesting thing. So he gives advice, and then Krishna, it tells that you first go to Rajasuya sacrifice, spend some time with Yudhishthir, and then, you know, if you don't kill Jarasandh, then there's no way Yudhishthir can perform Rajasuya Yajna, because he will never accept the subordination of Yudhishthir, so you have to first kill him. So he said, so he balanced it very nicely. But the point is, when Krishna reaches, Indraprastha, and he meets Yudhishthir, and Yudhishthir Maharaj said, you know something, by this performance of Rajasuya Yajna will require that all the kings will be subordinated to me, all the big demigods will come for the Rajasuya Yajna. It is the Yajna of all Yajnas. It is the Yajna that anybody can perform. Tremendous prestige for that person who performs the Yajna. Huge prestige. So, you know, there will be so much elaborate arrangements, and all of this for what? To establish Yudhishthir as the emperor of the world. Because that's what happens when you do Rajasuya Yajna. And what is Yudhishthir Maharaj's thought process? Please hear this. It is very important. Yudhishthir Maharaj's thought process is that once I am established the emperor of the world, I want to show to the world, the only reason I want to do this Rajasuya Yajna is not to become an emperor, not to get the glory, not to get the prestige. But the only purpose is that after the Rajasuya Yajna, I want to worship you, do your Agra Puja, and establish how you are the supreme in the whole creation. That's the only purpose that I want to do the Rajasuya Yajna. So what a thought came to my mind as I see this huge elaborate arrangements for what? To some or the other broadcast to the world, I use the word broadcast. Broadcast to the world that to show that Krishna is the supreme and there's nobody greater than supreme. Some or the other, in some way or the other, to broadcast how glorious Krishna is, and to broadcast his beautiful qualities, to broadcast his spotless character, to broadcast his spotless activities and pastimes. And that's the purpose. So what came to my mind is that the whole purpose, my dear friends, is to understand the glories of Krishna ourselves. And once we have understood them, in our own small or big way, to broadcast the glories of Krishna is the purpose of life. And everything the pure devotee does is ultimately to broadcast the glories of Krishna. And that's what this Bhagavatam is telling us again and again and again. We are hearing the glories of Krishna. And that's why the scripture which broadcasts the glories of the spotless activities of Krishna is also called the spotless Purana, Amalam Puranam. And this is relished by the Paramhansas. I think there is a verse in the 12th canto. Am I right? Yeah, there is a verse in 12th canto. It says, Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam. Right? It is the 12th canto, 13th chapter, 18th verse. Beautiful verse. That it is, the Srimad Bhagavatam is a spotless Purana. So here again the word comes of spotless Purana. It is most dear to the Vaishnavas because it describes the pure and supreme knowledge of the Paramahansas. So the Bhagavatam is spotless. The Bhagavatam is describing the person who is spotless. So let us understand the glory of this supreme spotless Purana, which we have access to. It is not an ordinary thing that we have access to this spotless Purana. How many Puranas are there? How many Itihasas? How many Upanishads? What sort of knowledge? But the spotless Purana, which talks about the spotless character of that spotless personality, Lord Shri Krishna. There was a devotee of the name Punathanam. Punathanam. I'm sure those who are from South India. Is that the right pronunciation? Maybe if you, Punathanam. So he was from South India. And of course, he had this long story. He had a very, very difficult past. And then he completely surrendered to Lord Krishna. And he was a great devotee of Guru Vayurappan, Lord Krishna in Guru Vayur. He was a great devotee of the Lord. Very, very, completely sold out. So he would worship. And then, once he went to this particular temple in North Kerala, called at a place called Kottiyur. Kottiyur, from those who are from Kerala would know this. So it's a famous place. It's a very huge temple. And the main deity of this temple is Lord Shiva. And the uniqueness about this temple is that it's not open throughout the year. It opens only a few days in a year and then it's closed for the whole year. There's a beautiful story, which you can refer and do some self-study for the same. Why it is like that. So, Purnatham, Punartham, and he went to this place to have darshan Lord Shiva, and he started reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. And there were hundreds and thousands of people who would come every day to hear his Srimad Bhagavatam discourse. Very, very famous. And then, you know, he was reading the 10th canto, 60th chapter, and where Lord Krishna teases Queen Rukmini. And you're speaking about that. And then, you know, the Lord is trying to, you know, pull a prank with Rukmini, saying that, why did you marry me? I am a coward boy from an ordinary village. You had a choice of marrying Shishupal, Salva, Jarasan. Why did you get married? And Rukmini was feeling so miserable and so shy and so irritated by this question. Krishna was constantly like, why? Please tell me. Why did you? So, Punatham was beautifully describing this particular pastime. And then the time ended and people were relishing. And the time ended, he put the bookmark and he kept the Bhagavatam and the next day he came again. Next day he opened the book. Again, the bookmark was at the page of the beginning of this chapter. So maybe he said, I'm not sure. So again, he started describing the glories of the same chapter. And this happened every day. And in a matter of 4-5 days since this happened, the temple was supposed to be closed. It was the last day. The temple was closed for many, many months. So somehow or the other, by the potency of the Lord, Punatham, after doing his service, after offering his respects, he left the temple. He was walking with his devotee friends. He was going. But he forgot his Bhagavatam in the temple. He said, now what will I do? Because Bhagavatam is my life and soul. And it is not like, you know, the way we have access to Bhagavatam on our phones nowadays. Don't worry, if I don't have Bhagavatam, I have access here. I mean, there was only few copies available. And if you lose your copy, you don't have it. To again write it, it takes a long, long time. So he actually went and he actually had crossed the river. It was the place the temple was at other side. So he went back running, crossed the river back when temple gates were closed. The pujari had closed it. It was closed. For those who have seen, you know, if you go to Kedarnath or Badrinath, you know, when the dates, everything is closed. We have seen videos of, and then when they open after 6 months, you know, it is 6 months, nothing, no activity. Similarly, this temple, everything was closed, no activity, nobody around. So he was trying to, he said, now what will I do? And obviously, you know, when you find your doors closed, what usually the tendency? What is the tendency usually? You see through the keyhole, right? I mean, is that just a tendency, is a natural reflex. If the door is closed, then you see from the keyhole. So he was seeing from the keyhole. And he saw from the keyhole and suddenly started hearing sounds of Lord Shiva describing the same chapter to Parvati and with all his bhutagans around. And Shiva was glorifying this particular same chapter, Krishna teasing Rukmini. And he was using the Bhagavatam of Punatham. And he was amazed. And Lord Shiva was describing, and after his Lord Shiva's class was over, and Punatham was hearing with his ears. And after his class over, Shiva asked, so Parvati Devi, I hope you were happy with the discussion today. Yes, yeah, it was a very nice discussion, but not as good as Punatham's discussion that where he did it. You spoke well, but nothing like what he used to speak. So of course, Lord Shiva said, of course I know it. That's why he speaks so well. That's why I have to always change the bookmark and keep it again at the beginning of the chapter. So he speaks the same thing again and again and again. I was myself so enthralled by hearing his description of this particular chapter. I was myself so enthralled. And what the acharyas explain, especially Ramanujacharya was explaining, that this is the glory of Bhagavad Puran. That even Lord Shiva relishes it, Parvati relishes it. This is that scripture, my dear friends. We are reading a scripture which is relished by the greatest of greatest demigods and personality like Lord Shiva, Paramahansa, Samhita, Amala, Puranam. And what is the sole purpose of this Purana, my dear friends, is to glorify Krishna. So just to create a sort of awareness, or rather we use in nowadays in a very famous word, mindfulness. You know, we talk about mindfulness nowadays. Then let's be mindful. Mindful is nothing but to be conscious. Prabhupada used the word consciousness almost 5 decades ago. But now everybody talks mindful. What is mindfulness? Let's be mindful. There are mindful sessions, mindful seminars. But the need is, mindful means many times we are not mindful of what we do. We just do it for the sake of doing it. Ritualistically, mechanically. That's why when we are reading Bhagavatam, let's be mindful of the fact, let's be conscious of the fact, let's be cognizant of the fact that this is the scripture which is relished by the Paramahansa's Lord Shiva. And this story beautifully explains this, that how Lord Shiva was relishing Bhagavatam. And there are many, 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 many such stories. So herein, you know, the Bhagavatam is explained that how Krishna is. There are 15 qualities of Krishna explained in this verse. That how Krishna is a amogha leela. Amogha leela. That how Krishna's activity is spotless. And Krishna, how Krishna is complete. There's another beautiful verse from Ishopanishad. Very interesting verse. Om Purnam Ada Purnam Idam Purnat Purnam Udachite Purnasya Purnam Adaya Purnam Eva Vashishyate. What a beautiful verse. You cannot lose the focus from the word Purna. Om Purnam Ada Purnam Idam. I remember 1988, 89, when I was first given this book. You know, because that time there were small books they would give. So I got the book, Life Comes from Life and Ishopanishad. And that time there was this one cassette which would be given to us as life members. My parents become life members. I remember that there's this one devotee, maybe either Jamuna Mataji or somebody was singing, Om Purnam Adha Purnam Idam. You heard this? Purnas Purnam. It is. So there was only two cassettes we had. And that's all we could. So I would play that cassette and we would hear this constantly Om. I said, what is this Om Purnamada Purnamada? So then I got the book and I was reading the Isha Upanishad, and that's what is called the invocation verses, this verse. And then I asked, Radhanath Swami Maharaj, I said, Maharaj, I don't understand this verse. What exactly this verse really means? So he explained in a simple verse, because the translation is also a little tricky. The Supreme Person of Godhead is perfect and complete. And because He is completely perfect, all emanations from Him, such as this phenomenal world, are perfectly equipped as complete wholes. Whatever is produced of the complete whole is also complete in itself. Because He is a complete whole, even though so many complete units emanate from Him, He remains the complete balance. Now you understand it. But, when you are just a new bhakta, you are not used to this terminology and this language of all this. So I said, what does it mean? What is this complete, purna, purna, and all this? So Maharaj said, very simple. And I was fascinated. I said, Krishna is supremely perfect. Is complete. I said, that's fine. And everything emanating from Krishna is also supremely perfect. That means something comes out of Krishna. He explained that you take something out of Krishna. So that thing which is there, that is complete, that is Krishna, and what comes out is also perfect. And even though something comes out of Krishna, Krishna remains the complete, and even this is also complete, that is Krishna. Now obviously when you take out something, when you have 1 liter of water, he said, you have 1 liter of water, you take off half a liter of water, then this becomes half, this becomes half. So it's not complete, right? It becomes half-half. But that's Krishna. Everything emanating from Krishna is completely perfect. Krishna is supreme positive. Krishna is supreme perfect. So Amogha Leela, completely spotless and perfect. There is no spot. When you say complete, perfect means what? There is spotless. If there is one spot, we can say it is not spotless. Spotless means no spots. Then the second verse explained is Srijati. He is the creator of manifested universes. Then Avati. He's the maintainer of these universes. You understand? The first is Amogha Leela. Second is Srijati, second quality. Third is Avati, that is the maintainer of these universes. Fourth is Ati, he is annihilator of the universes. Please understand, each of this line is a huge Herculean task by itself. But we just say, oh, he's a creator, and we finish. Boss, what does it mean to be a creator of the whole universe? It's huge. Each of these qualities of Krishna is something phenomenally beautiful. Do we really understand what we hear? Do we really understand what we speak? No. We have to be focusing on what we are speaking and hearing. Amogha Leela, each word. I was hearing a lecture of Prabhupada. He said, Amogha Leela. Ah. I said, it will take days to describe this word, Prabhupada said. Just one word, it will take days to describe Amogha Leela. But for us, Amogha Leela. Okay, next. Because we don't focus, we don't go deep into each of this. That's why it said Srijati, creator. Avati, Ati. And then fifth is Na Sajati Asmin. Even though he is doing all this, he is not affected by it. He is completely transcendental. This is another beautiful quality. We all get affected by what we do. Krishna is annihilating. It's not that he gets into passion. Oh, I'm annihilating, so he becomes passionate. Krishna is completely untouched. Isn't it amazing quality? And then he says, Bhuteshu Chantarita, that he lives within the heart of every living entity as Paramatma. Another glorious quality. This is the sixth quality in this verse. And then seventh is, Atma Tantra, he is completely self-independent. He is not dependent on anybody. Who can claim this in this world? Nobody. And if they do, are they either mad or they're egoistic? Or a mad person who is drunk or is crazy, psychologically unbalanced, he'll say, hey, I'm independent. No, I don't need anybody. But in all sanity, you can never say this because we are constantly dependent. Oxygen, you see what hell has become. Just by oxygen, which is easily available, what has happened to our cities? Because no oxygen, nobody can breathe. People are dying. No oxygen. How can we say we are not dependent? And then eighth line is Jigharati. He performs all his activities without any attachment, just like one smells the fragrance of the flower without being attached to the flower. Very interesting. He does his activities, and and that's why if once we know this Jigharati aspect, then we can never doubt the activities like Rasalila. People say, oh, Rasalila, Krishna is playing with the girls. Arey man, you first read in the first canto of Bhagavad what Krishna is saying, it is Jigharati, that he does his activities without any attachment. He has no attachment to anything. He's not attached to enjoying women. No. He's self-satisfied, self-independent. He doesn't need anybody. Important to understand this. That's why each word of this verse is important, because this is becoming the foundational verses on which we will build the whole Bhagavatam understanding of ours. The first canto, second canto is our foundational place, and then we slowly, slowly build our understanding of Krishna and Supreme Personality of God. Very important. And then he said, ninth is Sadgunesha. He is a master of all the six senses. Who can say this? Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Tumi Rishikesha Rishika Damiya. He said that, Tumi Rishikesha. As you are Rishikesha, Rishika Damiya. So they say, please control my senses, he's requesting. Because you are Rishikesha, you have controlled your senses. Damiya. Damiya means, you know, like having reins. Daman Karna. So Rishika Damiya, he said, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, please control my senses. So Sadgunesha. And the next 10 to 15, I mean the six, he said, he's full of all six opulences. So totally we have, what this verse narrates is 15 beautiful, glorious, individually effulgent qualities of Krishna. But the interesting thing is that it is not that when we hear Krishna is most opulent, Krishna is Rishikesh, Krishna is Amoghalila, that, of course, shows the glory of Krishna, shows the greatness of Krishna. But what is more important in our understanding? I want to ask you all, is greatness more important or sweetness more important? What do you feel? If you have a choice, what will you select? Greatness or sweetness? Sweetness. Yeah. Because ultimately, somebody is great. You know, for example, I'll just give you an example. We love to be with great people. And many times, you know, we just hear about the great people, but we don't, you know, we're not interacted with them. But moment we start interacting with these great people, I was just, there's one person who is a close friend of mine. He works in Air India. And many times he's on the flight where the top dignitary of our country travels. The top person. I don't want to name him. So he travels all the top people. The prime ministers, the vice president. So it goes with them. So he obviously interacting with them. You know, so we, for us, these personalities are on the screen and, you know, they're great. But this person is interacting with them. So he met the president of the country recently. The president of the country, you know, he's a big man. When he goes, there's an entourage which follows him. You know, right? President. If you see the photograph also, when the president was getting his vaccination, there was a royal people around. You know, it was not just ordinary. There were people standing and he was getting his vaccination. The president has his own royalty. So when this first friend of mine met the president, if the president was traveling from one place to another, the president said, "Are bhai, main jinda hun, wohi badi baat hai," in this circumstance. He was not showing his greatness of a president. He was showing his vulnerability. That the fact that I am alive is a great thing. He was just talking, and that's in the discussion he said this. So this person found this, probably this president is so sweet in his discussion. And then I realized that greatness is there, but greatness is mixed, if it's mixed with sweetness, that gives a very different flavor. Very different flavor. So Krishna is, this verse explains Krishna's greatness. Krishna is independent. That means he's great. But then, throughout the Bhagavatam and other scriptures, you see there is a particular, flavor added. Like you make a preparation, right? you make kheer, okay, and then you just add little kesar, just things. How much? You don't put this much kesar, right? Do you ever put this much? I mean, never. It'll be disastrous. You just put little kesar in it, and the whole thing becomes beautifully fragrant and yellow, right? So similarly, in the greatness of Krishna, you just add a tinge of his sweetness, and then the whole flavor changes. And this independent Krishna, when you add the flavor, the Krishna is independent, but he is completely dependent upon his devotees. That flavor you add, that brings the sweetness flavor of Krishna. Wow! And that is what makes great people more great, because of their sweetness. I mean, many times you see great people, and then when you come and say, there's great people, you know, he shook hands with me. Oh, bada aadmi hai, mere saath haath. That what you feel? That means he was very sweet. Even though he is so great, he shook hands. So please always understand, even for our own understanding, if we want people to love us, people usually respect great people, but they love sweet people. Keep it in mind. People respect, and the respect could be out of, obviously everybody is respecting Hiranyakashipu also. We heard the past time, right? Hiranyakashipu also, the demigod had to respect him. Come on, I want temperature of so and so. I want rain. I want this flower. They had to respect him because, you know, but you think they loved him? No question. So you could have respect for people. But when you have the sweetness, people love you. And Krishna wants not respect. He wants us to go beyond respect. He wants us to love us. I mean, he wants us to love him. And that's why there's a beautiful story that there was this, we shows the sweetness of Krishna. It's so heart-capturing. Please hear with attention. Your heart will melt. So there was this particular king who performed a great sacrifice for Lord Shiva. And he offered Lord Shiva tons and tons of ghee in a sacrifice. He was a king. Lot of ghee. He offered so much ghee. This is a story in Mahabharata. That Agni lost all luster. Itna ghee piya unhone. He lost all lust. And you know, he was saturated with ghee. And there's no more ghee he can accept. So please understand, if Agni cannot accept any more ghee, then there cannot be any more sacrifices. Understand? So he said, Agni had a problem. I said, now what do I do? You know, many times when we eat too much, na, I said, kya karu yaar, abhi, idhar sa gaya, we can't even, what do? You eat. And what do you do? Then you have to walk and then you feel something, you know, you take some hajmola or something and something, then you feel nice about it. So Agni took so much of ghee. I said, what do I do? So, you know, Agni came to Lord Brahma and he said, Lord Brahma, please help. You know, if there's no sacrifices, then it's a problem. But I'm saturated with ghee. I lost all my luster. Then Brahma said, don't worry, you please burn the whole Khandavprastha, Khandav forest. It's supposed to be burnt. You burn it, and when you burn it, you know, you will exhaust your energy and your ghee and everything. And then, because that is to be burnt, and there are so many snakes and other things inside, they have to be burnt, they're destined to be burnt. So you burn it. So say, oh, this is a very good advice. So Agni started burning the whole Khanda forest. It was acres and acres and acres of barren land, which is, I mean, not barren, full of forest. But there was nothing growing there. It was just a jungly wild trees. And with a lot of wild animals taking shelter of it. A lot of snakes. So Indra became very angry. Indra said that, how can he burn the forest? Because one of my friend Takshak is in the same forest. So Indra started showering rain, torrents of rain on Khandav forest. And the fire went off. So Agni became again a problem. He couldn't really burn because Indra is constantly, you know, throwing rainfall So then, you know, then Agni said, what do I do? He went to Brahma again and said, what do I do? So Agni was told by Brahma that you take shelter of these two personalities, Krishna and Arjun. They will help you. So then Agni went, and it is explained that it is at this time Agni asked for help. Krishna and Arjun said, we will help you. And at this time that Agni gave the Sudarshan Chakra to Krishna. Of course, how can you, who can ever give Sudarshan Chakra to? It's Krishna's eternal weapon. Again, you see how Krishna utilizes each devotee. How Krishna feels, okay, Agni, you gave me chakra. But it's his chakra. But Krishna loves this. So Agni gave the Sudarshan Chakra, and then he presented the chariot to Krishna and the Gandiva bow to Arjun. So he gave the chariot and the chakra to Krishna and the Gandiva bow to Arjun. And he said, please, so Krishna and Arjun promised that we will help you, and you know, we will make sure Indra doesn't disturb you. You start burning the forest. And then, you know, Krishna, Arjun made a whole layer of arrows on that, and no rain could come. And that's how Agni could burn all the forest. And then there was sound which came. I said, don't worry, Indra. Your Takshak has already left this forest. He's alive with his family. And he has gone to Kurukshetra. So don't worry. And Indra was happy also. He said, fine, if my friend is safe, I have no problem. So then, again, you know, we must be wondering, why is this story is sweet, but this is the real sweet part. Indra comes and he says, I'm so pleased with you, Krishna and Arjun, for giving me the right understanding, and you're protecting my friend. I want to give you a benediction. What do you want? So, you know, Arjuna anyway was always in the, you know, was wanting to acquire more and more weapons. So he asked Indra that, please give me divine weapons and mantras to control them. And Indra granted them. I said, you have all the divine weapons. And do you know what Krishna asked? Anybody knows? I mean, you know, Krishna also asked benediction. Indra said, okay, ask Krishna for benediction. See, this is again the sweetness part of Krishna. And it is explained, the all-intelligent Lord Vasudev asks for the benediction. And what is the benediction he asks for? Let my love, my priti. It is saying that Vasudeva pi jagraha pritim parthena sasvatim dadaucha tasmai devendra tam varnam pritimam stada. It is explained that let my love for Arjuna be eternal and uninterrupted. What is Krishna asking? And let my love for my devotee Arjun be eternal and uninterrupted. And Devendra says, Tatastu, so be it. So sweet. What is Krishna asking? I mean, what has Krishna? And there's no need for Krishna to ask anything. But if at all he has to ask, what is he asking? Because he will ask something which he is very, very wanting, right? What do you ask? You ask something which you want, right? Arjuna wanted weapons. He said, weapons. Chans milai, weapons manglo. He gave weapons. But what does Krishna want? If at all he wants something, if at all somebody can offer him something, what does he want? He's asking, let my love for Arjuna remain eternal and uninterrupted. My dear friends, that's how much Krishna loves his devotees. And that's why, you know, when we read this beautiful verses, you know, they are sweet. You see, Radha Gopinath, Lalita Vishakha Sakhi Vrindaki, Shri Gopal Ji Ki. So when we hear these sweet verses, what time we end usually? 10, right? 10? So when we hear these sweet verses, where we talk about Krishna's greatness, they are very nice. But the flavor of the sweetness aspect of Krishna is something very, very beautiful. And here, you can see that how Krishna is explained. Krishna is independent, but how is completely, completely subservient and dependent upon the love of his devotees. And that's what he's aspiring for constantly. So that's why coming, so when we, you know, when we are hearing these glories of Krishna, when we are hearing that how Krishna loves his devotees, and we are hearing that how it is important to really perform the process of devotional service in an enthusiastic way so that we become dear devotees of Krishna, because Krishna, we want to be dear to Krishna, right? Because Krishna loves his devotees, and if we become his devotees, Krishna will love us. And that's what we want, Krishna to love us. So we want to be loving devotees of Krishna. Now, the situation is that while we are desirous of loving Krishna, but we must remember that we are, the fact is that we are in this material world. What is this material world? You know, because it's important to see the contrast that all of us are in. Here, on one aspect, we are glorifying Krishna, Krishna's greatness and sweetness. But where are we? Because ultimately, Krishna consciousness is vigyan. Vigyan means it is realized knowledge, practical knowledge. How does it apply to me? Just glorifying Krishna is nice, but okay, how does it apply to me is very, very important. How can I be benefited from this knowledge, and how can I perform devotional service? Right? So the contrast is, here we have Krishna who is supremely spotless, pure white. And compared to that pure white, what is the environment that we all are living right now in? It's a material world. It is Kali Yuga. Kaler dosha nidhe rajan. It is the ocean of faults. Can you imagine, we are talking about a place which is ocean of faults? That means unlimited faults, unlimited negativity. Yes? My dear friends, are we convinced that we are staying in a place which is heavily negative? Yes or no? Aren't we bombarded with negativity? Yes? And much more now. And does it affect our consciousness? Does it affect our functioning? Too much of negativity, does it affect you or not? Yes. I'm sure it is. Don't even say no, because I will not believe you. Right? So we are, because the environment definitely affects our performance, right? The environment where we stay. And please understand, we are staying in an environment where there is constant barrage of negativity. The default setting of Kali Yuga is negativity. And to top it up all, the environment around right now, all the more right now, and it's not right now, it's for the few days, for a long period of time that we are experiencing, is negativity. The news that we are is negativity. The media around are like vultures, just giving us all garbage, horrible news. So what are we exposed to, my dear friends? And let's not be in a utopic situation that we are not affected by what's happening in the world. We are affected, and we are heavily affected, and we must be affected. So, if we want to be sane devotees, if we want to be devotees of Krishna and perform Krishna consciousness properly, then we have to come out of this negative bias or negative disposition that we are in, and experience the positivity of Krishna. But to the extent we are bombarded by negativity, it does not allow us to experience the positivity of Krishna. Yes or no? Right? If we are heavily negative, or we are forced with negativity, emotionally we are deranged. So let's be very aware that while we are talking about spiritual subject matter, we have a physical body, we have an emotional mind, we get diseased, we have a physical body, and we need to take care of the disease, and that's why we wear all these masks and all these things we are taking care of, because we have a vulnerable body. And simultaneously, we have a vulnerable mind, which gets heavily influenced by the environment around us. And that's why I wanted to bring to your notice for the next few minutes about a very important thing that we need to be careful about as sadhakas. We are talking about, in which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, who is your devotee? A satsanga tyaga yahi vaishnav achar, he was said there, right? One who abandons the non-devotee association is a Vaishnav. A satsanga tyaga yahi vaishnav achar. So what is this asasang all about? What is this asasang tyaga we're talking about? So there's something what is called, which I thought I'll share with you, energy vampires. You heard of vampire? What is vampire? They're like ghosts or some energy which sucks your energy, vampire. Now, you know, there is something called energy vampires. Now, whether it is a person or it is the environment or it is the media or it is whatever things around you, these can potentially be energy vampires. Now, what does it mean? The energy vampires are persons or situations who feed off on the emotional and the psyche of a person. They work upon the emotion, the psyche of the person. They feed on it. You understand? You know what is parasites? The parasites, they feed on other things and they live. Similarly, vampires, they feed on us and live. And many times, we have experienced, in my experience personally, in my own life, and some service that I render, you know, we see that people are terribly emotionally and mentally exhausted. We feel mentally exhausted, and much more now, because there's so much of mental exhaustion caused because of heavy negativity around. I mean, in one sense, you feel that nothing good is happening. What's happening? You all feel this? The only good thing is when we see darshan and mangoes on the eyes, this is something good here. At least Krishna. Otherwise, the moment you turn your face from the altar and you see, I mean, what I mean to say is anything other than Krishna consciousness is all negative right now. So this is, we need to be aware of this aspect of energy vampires, and we need to be, if we are conscious of it, then we can protect ourselves. So just, you know, there are many, many different types of energy vampires, but just to mention, we are talking about four types right now, and you will be able to relate to them in your own lives as we discuss that. There's something what is called the victim vampire. The victim vampire. What are these people? The victim vampires, they believe that they are at the mercy of the world, and they're constantly having very low self-esteem of themselves. And because they are very so low self-esteem, they constantly are piling on or dependent upon other people to get their energy. Poor me syndrome. You heard of this? Poor me. Me bichara. And that's what you see in the world around. So many people, we are from the particular minority religion. And the poor us. And there's the media side. Or even amongst the people that we interact. There are people who are the victimized type of vampires who feel that they are victimized. Poor me. Do you experience these people? I'm sure if you think, you will come across, the poor me. That may be chara. You know, I'm poor. They feel guilt. You know, they feel lack of love. They feel lack of validation. Nobody really appreciates me. I'm doing so much, but nobody really appreciates me. If we associate with more of these people, or more of this environment, or more of this news, as we said, it is the people, or the environment, or the news, or whatever is, then it will slowly suck our energy. So do not associate with people. So you be very careful on what association you have. Because if we want to maintain a positive disposition, and only in a positive disposition can you execute Krishna consciousness. Please understand, my dear friends. And that is why it is important to avoid negative association. And that is why it's important to understand what is the different types of negative association that we could be exposed to. And there is something what is called the narcissist vampire. The narcissist. The narcissist philosophy is first me and then everybody else. They are the authoritarian type of people. That everything else is useless. First you look to me. Take care of me. They also suck your energy. And believe me, these people could be amongst our friends. This group of people whom we associate with. And if we associate with such people, it could be potentially an energy drain. The second is the melodramatic vampire. You know, melodrama. You know, they just feel, they thrive on creating problems. They feel victimized. And, you know, they feel that everything is empty in their life, and they create a melodrama. You know what is a melodrama, right? They create a drama of everything. And that's why what you see in this world, my dear friends, is a big drama going on. And everything that you see on every issue in this world, you please see it as a melodrama. Everything is getting converted to a melodrama. Whether it is vaccination on one side, or oxygen on one side, or this or that, it's a big melodrama going on. People love to be posed as victimized people, melodrama people, the narcissist people. Please be aware of this, and let's not get caught out and get drained by this news. The people or situation or the news is could be affecting us, and we need to be careful that this is all a mellow. We don't need to associate with this too much, or else we will get stuck to it. And the last one is the dominator vampire. That they were deep within insecurity of being weak and wrong, and they cover their insecurity because they are weak and wrong themselves. They cover this insecurity by showing that how good I am, and they start giving advices to people. And that's another melodrama that we see around. Because they are themselves so weak and wrong, they know they are wrong. But they would want to cover up their wrong. How will they cover up their wrong? By showing that they are dominating. You understand? If you don't know something, you start blabbering. I remember I had not studied my homework, and the teacher was going to take orals. So I remember I was so scared. But then I said, the way to overcome is either you remain too silent, and if you're silent, somebody will catch you. You just keep on speaking, and then people think that you know. They say, yes, teacher. Hey, you just be active, and they say, isko to aate, nobody will ask you. And it worked. So the deep within insecurity or weakness can be covered by external, I remember, many years back, very interesting. That there was a particular. I was working at Bhaktivedanta Hospital. I was an employee. I was working for them. And then we had our managers meeting. You know, Madhavan Prabhu and others would conduct managers meeting. And there was a particular person. And many times as a boss, Madhavan Prabhu would ask him, "What is the report of so and so?" So he would speak something, and none of us understood what he spoke. He would speak some. Obviously, he would speak English. But he would speak things, so many times, everybody thought that others have understood and only I have not understood. So nobody asked him any question. So when he was leaving, it was his last day. So we asked him that, what do you want to share your experience? He was a senior guy. So he said a very interesting thing. And we realized that he was utilizing all this time. I said, if you do not know something, speak in such a way that you confuse people. And when they get confused, they will think that, everybody, let's not ask. So, this was one of the tricks that he used in his 40 years of being an HR person. Anyway, the point I'm trying to drive is that if there is innate weakness, the point I'm trying to say, weakness or some insecurity, you can cover that up by, so you find so many people, everybody wants to speak on every issue in this world right now. And you have got fantastic mediums to voice your opinion also through all this social media craziness. Don't be exposed to the madness of social media, my dear friends. You'll be crazy. Because what is it all about? It's all about a particular energy vampire trying to suck your energy through the media. It's serious. It is serious. People are getting seriously affected by this. It is working. That is why if you want to worship the supreme positive Krishna, the supreme complete Krishna, then we have to be in a positive disposition. And that is why we have to avoid this potential energy vampires. As I said, it could be in the form of people, it could be in the form of situations, it could be in the form of the news around us. And as I said, news around us, we are not aloof. We don't stay in caves in the Himalayas. We stay in Bombay and we are surrounded with news. So if we want to be sadhakas, we have to be emotionally, mentally positive and strong. We cannot deny the fact that we need to be physically healthy, we need to be emotionally healthy, mentally strong, and of course spiritually strong. But to be spiritually strong, you will need other aspects. We need to be holistically healthy. WHO and HOL both. Holistic and holistic. Yeah? So we have to be holistically, that is body, mind and soul. We need to be healthy. And that's why important aspect of complete health is mental health. And that's why us, what does satsang do? It actually spoils your mind. And your mind then affects your intelligence, right? Yes or no? What does a bad association do? They speak something, you see something. It affects your mind. What happened to Ajamil? He saw something and that affected his mind. And his mind affected his intelligence and he lost his discrimination. So it's the mind, my dear friends, we need to be careful about. And that's why emotional or mental strength is very, very important. And that's why I love this concept of the energy vampire. Should be cognizant about this, that there are situations which I can potentially suck my energy. Because many times we don't even know that they're sucking your energy. And they suck your energy and you feel completely exhausted mentally. And you don't know why. And then you wonder, why am I losing my taste in Krishna consciousness? Why am I not getting so attracted to Krishna? What is the problem? Why am I not able to fix up my mind in my sadhana process? The reason is because we are depleted our energy. We have lost the faith because that energy is taken, the faith is taken away. And that's why, you know, we need to be conscious. And today, of course, is we have some time and we have the disciplines of Ramananda Rai. What a special personality. Ramananda Rai, right behind. Huh? That it is the disciplinary of Sri Ramananda Rai, a very special personality. He was actually the son of Bhavananda Rai. There are five sons. Very sweet. Their names itself are so pure to speak. Ramananda, Gopinath, Kalanidhi, Sudhanidhi, and Vaninath. Vaninath Rai, Sudhanidhi Rai, Kalanidhi Rai, Gopinath Rai and Ramananda Rai. These are the five sons and their five sons were non-different than the Pandavas. And Bhavananda Rai was Pandu, who incarnated as Bhavananda Rai. And their mother was none other than Kunti Devi. And Ramananda Rai was a partial incarnation of Arjun. He was also the incarnation of Vishakha Sakhi and also the incarnation of Arjun Sakha. We all know this. So it's a beautiful thing how when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya that I'm going to the south. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, please, I must tell you that one of the persons that you must meet and you must associate very closely with is this great devotee of the Lord named Ramananda Rai. And of course, a beautiful description which you can read throughout the day during in Chaitanya Chaitamrita. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was looking and when he finally reached the banks of the river Godavari at Kavur, a beautiful place for those who have visited. I think we had a beautiful yatra. It's a huge banks of Godavari. Very beautiful. And at the banks of Godavari at Kavur, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai met. And Ramananda Rai, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asking questions and he acted. How in Krishna Leela, Krishna instructed Arjun, the Bhagavad Gita. But in this Leela, Ramananda Rai is sharing knowledge. We can't use the word instructed for Krishna. Krishna is supreme. But Ramananda Rai is sharing his knowledge about the highest understanding of Radha Pada Dasyam. Slowly, chronologically going up and up and up and up. Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, please tell me the ultimate. And said, Aho Bhaiya, go deeper, go deeper, go deeper. He goes on from Karma Mrsha Bhakti, goes on to Dasya Ras. Beautiful description. Please read it. You must read it. And then he goes on to describe the beautiful love of Radha Krishna, Radha Pada Dasim, the glories of being the humble servant of Srimati Radharani. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is asking him many, many questions. They met for 3 days. And what we are going to discuss in the next 5 minutes is a beautiful discussion on the third day. After he had already narrated the highest levels of devotion and going from one level to another level to another level to other level. Then he established the fact of the glories of Srimati Radharani and being servant of Srimati Radharani. Then he asking this beautiful question. And let us all meditate upon this very. These are the discussions between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His most devoted associate, Ramananda Rai. None other than Vishakha Sakhi. Very special discussion. She said, what is the best of education, oh dear Ramananda Rai? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is asking. What's the best of education? Anybody? Anyway, I will visit this. Devotion to Krishna, Ramananda Rai. The best education. All of us are, many of you are IITs and many of you are HSCs and BSCs and all this. But the best of education is devotion to Krishna. Ramananda Rai replied, what is the greatest activity for a living entity? What is the greatest activity for a living entity? So many activities we do, right? You are making wicks, you are making tulsi and this is all activities. But the greatest activity, any guesses? To be the servant of Krishna. To be the servant of Krishna is the greatest activity. Of course, we are all trying to be servants of Krishna. That's what we are trying to be. Ramananda Rai replied, the greatest activity of living entity is to be the servant of Krishna. That's why, because it's the greatest, very few are able to do it. How many people? For us, it is a normal thing. Servant of Krishna, TK, we speak about servant of Krishna 10 times in a day. And so we have become a little callous about the fact, unfortunately. But how many people really want to be servant of Krishna? Minuscule. In the whole world. That's why the greatest activity is very rare. Very few people, they want to be servant of Krishna. What is the supreme wealth? Supreme wealth. Koinur diamond? No. What is supreme wealth? Love for Radha and Krishna. Supreme. Dhana. What is the greatest unhappiness? This is very important. What is the greatest unhappiness? Not to have a Samsung phone? The greatest unhappiness is not to have the association of devotees of Krishna. Many of us are experiencing that, right? Can't imagine this is Sunday. Sunday morning. It's so difficult. For all of us in congregation, it's so difficult. You know, sometimes we go through nostalgia. I mean, I start seeing videos of crowds of devotees. I start chalakta yaar. Literally. You know, we used to say, oh, so much crowd, so much crowd, so much crowd. Krishna has given us no crowd now. And I see crowd in Jagannath. I saw a video of Rath Yatra. I felt so nice. People are packed up together and dancing in Rath Yatra. I said, oh, wow. Aisa bhi kabhi hua tha. And no mask. Oh, thank God there's no mask. So this viraha of devotees is the greatest unhappiness. But I read a beautiful, I mean, I was so encouraged. Jananyas Prabhu was making his offering to his brother, Pankajangri Prabhu. And I'm sure many of you must have noted this. He made a very nice statement, which is a great encouragement. He said, now we are all in separation from Pankajangri Prabhu. And then he made a statement. But what is the use of separation if there is no meeting? So we will meet very soon. We will all meet him in the spiritual world. So please understand, while we are meeting, we are fearful of separation. But while we are in separation, we are happy that there will be meeting. Because the separation has no meaning if there is meeting. Because if only separate separation, then if there is no meeting, then what is the use of separation? There is nothing like separation. It's just a state of separation. But separation has meaning. Please understand me. Because there is zero, one has meaning. And because there is one, zero has meaning. Binary, you understand? So if... what is the use of separation if there is no meeting? Are you getting it? Because we talk about, what is separation? Separation is absence of the positive. But the natural default setting is not the absence of positive. I mean, for example, if you want to describe something negative, what is it usually? We don't say negativity is present. What do we say? Positivity is absent. So the absence of positivity is negativity and not the presence of negativity. Similarly, the natural default setting is devotees are all together. But absence of devotee sangha is viraha. Viraha is not the default setting, please understand.
You understand? So that is why when I heard the statement, it was very encouraging that yes, the more we are in separation from the devotees now, when the meeting does happen, when we all devotees, I'm waiting for that one first program at Radha Gopinath. I'm really waiting. I mean, it will be stampede and I'll be happy in the stampede. I don't know how it is going to happen. Radha Gopinath knows. But when we do, and I hope that there will be some normalcy in this, it'll be so nice. I mean, so wonderful. Why? Because thinking about it, because right now we are experiencing separation. So nice. What is the highest liberation? And then the reply was, the best jewel of all kind of liberation is developing love for Krishna. What is the best song? The song that describes the pastime of Krishna. What is the best auspiciousness for divinities? The association of devotees is the most auspiciousness for devotees. So see, please understand, Ramananda Rai from different point of view is talking about the same thing. Association of devotees. Radha Krishna. And please understand, this is the discussion between this is the most elevated PhD level discussion happening. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had three gurus, right? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had, so Ramananda Rai is one of his gurus because he's instructed on the highest love of Radha and Krishna. So one guru is Keshav Bharati, other is Ishwarpuri, and then Ramananda Rai. Ramananda Rai is giving the prayojan understanding to Radha. And this is the discussion. You can't take it lightly. You can't say, they spoke something. This is very, very heavy. I mean, not heavy, but very, very powerfully surcharged. What is the most auspicious, what is the only thing we have to remember? Krishna's name, Krishna's qualities, and Krishna's pastimes. That was the only thing to meditate upon, the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. Where is the best place to live? The place where Krishna has performed his pastimes. What is the only thing to meditate upon? What is the best thing to be heard? Description of the loving pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And what is the only thing which is to be glorified? The names of Radha and Krishna. So it's all about Radha and Krishna. And can you imagine? We are all so fortunate that we are at least doing the right activity. To have the right consciousness is something which we need to work upon. But activity-wise, we are doing the right activity. We are all worshipping Radha and Krishna. Isn't it so wonderful and so auspicious? Now, as far as the consciousness is concerned, is something that we need to work upon. Yes, we will work upon it and we'll try to have the best of consciousness, best of mindfulness. But all the Ramananda Rai Prabhu is speaking here to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whether it is service to Radha and Krishna, meditating about Radha and Krishna, thinking about Radha and Krishna, staying in the place of Radha Krishna pastime, we are all fortunately, by Prabhupada's mercy and Gurudev's mercy, we have that access. We are fortunate. So Krishna is so merciful and Krishna is so wonderful. And if you just keep this positive disposition in our mind, then Krishna can do amazing things. As we said, one of the explanations that Prabhupada gave of Amogha Leela is there is nothing lamentable in Krishna's creation. There is nothing to lament. You will be happy. Rudan, there is no need to lament. So when you worship Krishna, you will always be happy. What Krishna can do, amazing things. What Krishna cannot not do? Krishna can do amazing things. This beautiful story by Raghunath Das Goswami. Krishna goes at a Malyara Kund. And he's meeting the gopis. The gopis are made beautiful. It's the month of Kartik. They made beautiful pearl garlands, 2-3 garlands to offer to, because it is Kartik time, Diwali time, the decorating. Krishna said, please give me some pearls. Please give me some motis. I said, hey, go away. We don't want them. There's a beautiful discussion between the gopis and Krishna. And Krishna feels very upset that they didn't share this. Krishna said, I'll grow my own pearls. And then he went to his mother, took some pearls. It's a beautiful long story. It's a whole book, by the way. Mukuta Charita by Raghunath Das Goswami. A whole book of this pastime. And then he puts pearls in the ground. He waters them with milk. And in 3 days, the pearls growing. Everywhere the pearls. And Krishna has so many pearls of varieties of colors. And he makes beautiful garlands and he puts that purse to everybody and makes small boxes, engraves the names of each gopi and sends them the gift. Radharani, he sends the gift. Lalita, he sends the gift. Vishakha, he engraves their names and sends the gift to all of them. So people are amazed. And Raghunatha Das, in a Goswami, in the end, he says, what Krishna cannot do, he can do anything. So let us all have faith in Krishna that he can do amazing things. Sri Radha Gopinath Bhagwan ki. And let us all keep on understanding the spotless character and activities of Krishna. Let us remain in a positive environment. Let us remain in a positive mental frame of mind. Let us be positive carriers. Let us be carriers of positivity in this world. There's enough of negativity. Let us be positive carriers of positivity. And by this, we can worship Krishna beautifully. And we can relish Srimad Bhagavatam. And hopefully, someday, we will see Radha and Krishna. And we will be able to absorb Radha Krishna pastimes in a pure way. Thank you very, very much. Hare Krishna. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Shishi Gopalji Bhagwan ki.